31. A swan dive. About halfway between the airships, Modo discovered that he'd miscalculated. He'd missed the enemy car entirely. As he arced below the Prometheus, he reached out and grabbed the huge flag flapping at the bottom. He clung to it, stunned, thanking the fates that it held his weight. The enemy's cursed flag had saved his life, for the moment, anyway. For a second, he wondered what Tharpa thought of this horrible display of acrobatics. Then he began to climb. He didn't dare look down. After he'd gone a few feet, it occurred to him. He had no plan. In any case, he had no options. Up was the only way to go. He would give them something to remember him by. The longer he fought, the better the chance his companions would escape. He focused on getting to the metal springs on the underside of the Prometheus, climbing hand over hand until he reached them. The Prince Albert dropped past him with such speed that he only got a glimpse of his fellow agents lying on the floor. Were they deserting him? Or maybe one had been shot? Or all of them? But Lizzie must be alive, because the ship was spiralling down on an exceptionally well-controlled path. Hack and Dotty would know he was down here. There were 8 soldiers in the car armed with rifles, a pilot or 2, maybe, an engineer, and Miss Hackendotter. Each would be armed, and all he had were his bare hands. Why hadn't he thought to bring a machete? Then he remembered the clockwork falcons. Fool! He scanned the sky for their shapes, but they were either pursuing the Prince Albert or waiting on their master's arm above him. The Prometheus's steam engine roared as the ship dove in pursuit of the Prince Albert. He looked down to see that the Prince Albert was circling a few hundred feet below. They seemed to be keeping pace with the enemy, and it dawned on him that they might be waiting for him to jump. How long they could maintain their position, he had no idea. He could just wait here for them to ascend close enough. Then, once he landed on board, he could grab the netting on the exterior balloon. But that would mean the chase would just begin again, and they'd be no farther ahead. No. The Prometheus had to be disabled one way or another. He swung along under the car, clutching the springs and hoping that the bolts were strong enough to bear his weight. The best way to stop the enemy, of course, would be to bring the whole thing down. But it wasn't as if he had a stick of dynamite. Focus on what you have. Think. The most logical thing to do was to damage the engine. He could jam the propeller, but how to accomplish it? A stolen rifle would be chopped in half. If he could just see the engine itself, maybe he'd have his answer. The Prometheus turned to starboard and a blast of wind caught him, blowing his cloak around so his hood became tangled in a spring. He tried to extricate it with his left hand, holding tight to the ship with his right, but the spring had poked a hole through the fabric. His right hand suddenly stung so painfully that he opened it and found himself hanging by his hood, swinging back and forth in the wind. A guild soldier with a pipe wrench was right behind him, arm raised for another smash, his other hand gripping the spring. Modo let out a yelp and caught the wrench, absorbing a bone-shaking blow. He pulled himself up, using the man's arm, tearing his hood free. He was eye to eye with the enemy. Modo got a grip on a spring and yanked the wrench out of the soldier's hands. The soldier tried to grab Modo, but slipped, falling headfirst through the air. Modo turned his face away. A bullet ricocheted off the metal undercarriage. Another guild soldier was 20 feet away, hanging by one hand, aiming his pistol with the other. Modo tucked the pipe wrench in his belt and scrambled aft as quickly as he could, then swung himself up and was nearly decapitated by the propeller. He pressed hard against the side, hoping the wind wouldn't blow his cloak into it. But as he edged around the side of the car, the blades caught the hem. With all his strength, Modo yanked it out, now in tatters. "Why did I wear a cloak?" he wanted to scream. Several gyroscope-like instruments stuck out of the ship beside him, spinning madly. He imagined they somehow measured airspeed. A bullet struck one, and it fell. The soldier was now climbing up the side of the ship for a better shot. Thankfully, the swaying of the Prometheus made it difficult for him to aim while clinging with one hand. Modo swung around, caught a corner of the partly extended gangplank with his hand, and, with an acrobatic leap that included a great flip through the air, threw himself into the Prometheus. He landed firmly on his feet, face to face with Miss Hackendotter. Before he could react, she had her metal hand around his throat and had pushed him down on the floor against coils of ropes. He tried to pry her fingers away, but they were as strong as the determination in her eyes.
"I was hoping to capture you, Modo," she said, almost gently. "The Guildmaster wants to know what makes you tick."
The air in his lungs was disappearing. She'd soon crush his windpipe. He'd never break her vice-like grip. But Mr. Socrates' voice came to him. Fear attacks rational thought. He'd said it 1,000 times. She was only human. Her hand was strong, perhaps stronger than he was, but the rest of her was flesh. He booted her in the knee and she spat out a curse, but her metal hand still cut off his airway. He grabbed her hand with both of his and pulled it away with all his strength, hoping he wouldn't rip out his windpipe in the process. He sucked in a long breath. He flung himself to his feet and stumbled against the side of the car. Bullets cut through his cloak, missing his body. In a flash, he took in the scene. 6 soldiers with pistols aimed at him were spread out through the car. Behind them were a pilot and co-pilot madly working the controls, and next to them the Falconer. Modo raised his arms in surrender, which momentarily stopped the shooting. If he could get to the pilots, he could toss them overboard. That would put an end to the pursuit. Miss Hackendottier stood up, holding her knee. She was about to say something, but Modo leapt forward, grabbed her by the hair, and spun her around as a shield between him and the Guild soldiers, pinning her metal hand against her side. He dragged her along so that his back was pressed against the steam engine. The red-hot boiler burned through his clothes, the misty steam and smoke fogging his goggles. He pulled out the pipe wrench and held it high. "I'll brain her if any of you makes a move."
"Dimitri!"
Miss Hackendottier shouted.
"You are the best shot. Take it now. Between his eyes."
One soldier raised his pistol, his hand steady. Modo jerked to the left, dragging his hostage with him, and the bullet pinged off the boiler. Miss Hackendottier ripped her hand from his grasp, screamed in rage, and swung back behind her so that he had to use the wrench to deflect the metal hand. It struck the boiler, making it ring like a bell.
"Shoot again, you idiot!"
Dimitri's hand was trembling, the pistol barrel wavering. Modo suddenly realized Miss Hackendottier didn't care whether or not the bullet went through her before it hit him, so he shoved her into the soldiers, knocking Dimitri and 2 others down. Then he turned, grabbed a metal rod on the ceiling, swung to the opposite side of the steam engine, and began smashing at it with the wrench. Dials shattered, hoses broke, spraying out water and steam, but the engine continued to roar. It would take hours to dismantle the machine. He dropped the wrench and grabbed the bottom of the red-hot boiler, struggling to lift it, ignoring his burning hands. The metal bands that held it to the floor snapped, and to his own surprise, and the surprise of his enemies, he lifted the engine. He tried to heft it over the side, but it was too heavy, and he fell back, dropping it. Pipes had broken, and they began to smoke and clatter. The whole car lurched to starboard, and Modo slipped over the side, reaching out at the last moment to cling to the railing. He looked down, searching. No sign of the Prince Albert. He glanced up to find Miss Hackendottier bleeding from the forehead, shaking a sabre at him.
"Die! Just die like the rat you are!"
She swung the sabre. The excruciating pain in his hand made Modo let go. He closed his eyes, not wanting to see death coming for him.
"You're being stupid, Modo," he thought,
and opened them again just as he struck something. He had a moment to realize it was the balloon on the Prince Albert before it burst, hydrogen shooting out of vast rips in its side. He bounced off, flailing his arms and finding nothing to grab. He glimpsed the car, a blurred vision of Octavia's horrified face, and then the beautiful green of the rainforest floor.